Good morning. We are in our second lesson of the series Noel, and today I closed last week by saying if you have young children and you're not ready to have particular conversations with them, I'm not going to be crass, I'm not going to be crude, but just a reminder to you that we will be talking about some things that they may not know about just yet, and you may have conversations with them later. One man was telling me how excited he was when he walked into the room and saw that his young son was reading the book Noel, and he was just like, yes, he's reading the book, and then he walked out of the room, and it hit him, and he said, oh no, he's going to read chapter 3, and things happen in chapter 3, that and so he's like, we're going to have some conversations, and so I don't know, maybe he confiscated the book. I don't know what happened, but ultimately that we're going to be talking about chapter 3 today, or in the first part of this. The series is called Noel, and the book is called Noel because the word Noel simply means birth. It means birth. We're bringing something forward. We're birthing something, and so we sing things like Noel, 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 because it just sounds so much better than birth, 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 birth. You see the problem, and so that's why it's Noel. But it really, the whole thing is just birth. It's all about the birth of Christ. That's what Christmas was. The first Christmas was the birth of Christ, and every Christmas we celebrate the birth of Christ. And when Jesus was born on the first Christmas day, it was Mary living out her destiny like very few people ever could. In fact, today we're looking forward to Christmas, and we're looking forward to celebrating the birth of the Savior. But none of us in this room today would suppose that we are going to be birthing the same kind of destiny that Mary birthed. None of us, I don't assume, are considering that we're birthing a Savior into the world. If you are, we need to talk to you, because there was a Savior born. His name was Jesus, and he is the only Savior. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, or even can be saved. And so this is an incredible thing. But when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we know that the moment when Mary holds Jesus in her arms, in her hands, in the swaddling clothes, and babe in a manger, that wasn't the beginning of the story. It couldn't be the beginning of the story, because the birth never begins the story. It begins at the beginning. Luke records the angel Gabriel speaking to this girl named Mary, and he says to her, hey Mary, don't be afraid, because you found favor with God. God really likes you, and he's going to do something special in you and with you. And he says that you're going to conceive and bear a son named Jesus. And God is going to be the father of that son. And Mary's like, She asks one question. And you might consider that Mary could ask the question like, so, Gabriel, can I call you Gabe? When this son is 2, will he be like other 2-year-olds, since God's the father? You know, will he be... well, bad. Will he have to be taught this? She may have had a few questions about what his teenage years would look like. She may have some. She doesn't ask about any of those things. She asks one question. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. How can this happen? I am a virgin. What she's saying is, you said I would conceive and bear a child, but I haven't done what's necessary for conception to occur. So how is this going to happen? Now, it's interesting that God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing beyond God. So God can do anything, but God does not skip the concept of conception in order to birth a destiny for Mary's life. And Mary doesn't ask about anything except the process of conception. Why? I believe it's because of how personal conception really is. What is necessary for conception to occur is so personal to each individual that I think Mary was like, hold on, I don't know how this is going to happen or what's going to happen, but I know it's going to have to be very personal with me. And the big idea today is this. If you're a note taker in your sermon guide, service guide, there's an opportunity to take some notes, and I encourage you to do so. The big idea is that every destiny begins with something being conceived. It doesn't matter if the destiny is to build a business, or the destiny is to write a book, or the destiny is to launch a career, or the destiny is to build a relationship, or the destiny is to start a family, or the destiny is to have a child. Whatever the destiny is, there will be a moment of conception that takes place. It's a moment when all the necessary ingredients come into contact with one another so that fertilization can take place. And now what was just an idea becomes a living reality. And now all of a sudden it can begin to develop. It can begin to be processed and go through its own process. You can't expect what hasn't been conceived. You might hear people say that they're expecting things that you've never seen happen in their life, but it's an improper expectation. Because if there's no conception, there's no birth. In fact, I had the experience of watching a dog go through the concept of false pregnancy, which I frankly had never heard of prior to this. Christy and I had this little dog named Poe. She was a little bitty white Cairn Terrier that would sleep in our bed every single night, but she wasn't big enough to actually get into the bed, so you had to pick her up and put her in the bed. And so every night she would just wait by the bed until somebody picked her up and put her in there so that she could go to sleep. Well, one night she wasn't there. And we're looking around trying to figure out where Poe is, and come to find out, she's in the closet. And so we're like, "What you doing, Poe? In the closet?" And we open up the closet, and sure enough, she's there, and she's got like some of her toys there, and it's kind of organized a little bit, and then there's a little stuffed animal of Winnie the Pooh in the little circle of toys with her, and she came out of the closet and put her in the bed, and we were good. Well, next day she jumped off the bed, went right back to the closet. Pretty soon we couldn't get her to come out of the closet. We'd have to go get her and take her outside and feed her and stuff like that. And then one day I went to get her, or Christy did, I don't remember who, but somebody went to get her out of the closet to feed her or take her outside, and she growled. When you're this big, it's not great to growl at people, just so you know. But she's this little bitty dog. She never growled. She was like the most submissive thing on God's earth. And yet she growled at us, and we were like, "Something is wrong with this dog." And so we took the dog to the vet and said, "Fix it." And the vet started talking about it and figuring out what was going on. And ultimately, the vet said, "There's nothing I can do. She's experiencing a false pregnancy. She was spayed, so she couldn't have puppies. But something in her body was convincing her that she, in fact, was pregnant. And so she thought that little Winnie the Pooh stuffed animal was her baby. And she protected that baby, and she curled up and slept with that baby, and she, you know, you couldn't touch that baby." And the vet said, "There's nothing you can do, just wait, and eventually it'll pass." And pretty soon, she started coming out of the closet more, and eventually she became her normal, abnormal self again. It was a false pregnancy, and it was interesting to watch a dog go through that. It's heartbreaking to see a person go through that, where they keep expecting something to happen that never actually occurs. It's that job is that's the thing that's going to happen. That career, that's the thing that's going to happen. It's always what's going to happen next. In Christian circles, sometimes you hear God's about to, God's gonna, God's got. Now you might say, "Well, wait a minute. Aren't you a person of faith? Don't you believe God's going to do things?" Yes, I do. But if it isn't conceived, if Mary said, I'm going to have a baby and that's going to be the Son of God, but it was never conceived within her womb, then it would be an incorrect expectation. It would be a sense of false pregnancy. And it's heartbreaking to see people live a life where everything's about to happen, but what should come to pass never becomes a reality that they can hold in their hands. It's heartbreaking to see. Because nothing can be born without conception. What's necessary for conception is intimacy, unity, and proper timing. That's needed for conception to occur. And all of us desire these things. Everybody desires intimacy to some level. You want to be able to be open with someone. Physical intimacy brings a physical child, but mental and emotional intimacy will birth a marriage, it'll birth relationships, vision intimacy will birth a company, a nonprofit. The idea of being able to be open with one another's dreams and sharing one another's visions, that's something that we seek. We seek it so much that we make movies and videos and shows about it. If you watch television, half of the show is not about what's actually going on at the firehouse or the police station or the school. It's about all the relationships that are involved in the school, the police station, and the firehouse. And if it's WB, they're all kind of glowing just a little bit, and it's, they stare at each other across the room. I like this swivel chair. Let me do this. You don't know that if you stare at somebody long enough from way across the room in the most solemn and wide-eyed look, you share your soul. That's a joke, y'all. Come on. Oh, that's sad. Watching too much WB, I'm telling you right now. I only know that because of the 4 seconds I can tolerate from the shows. I learned that part. So if we want these things, if we want intimacy, we want to be unified with somebody in some area of life. If we want proper timing, you hear people talk about timing all the time. Well, when the right time comes, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. We understand that timing is necessary. So if we want unity, we desire intimacy in some manner, and we understand that proper timing is necessary, what would stop healthy conception from occurring? And I have three thoughts for us today, and in your notes, if you want to take it, thought number one is this. Fear restricts openness to healthy conception. Fear restricts openness to healthy conception. Because healthy conception only occurs where openness exists. Now, I want to be delicate here, and I want to be careful, but I also want to be clear. And that is that conception can be forced. Whenever conception is forced physically, we call that rape. And it's a terrible, tragic situation that is, there's no explanation for. It's no reasonable way for that to occur. But it doesn't just happen with physical pregnancy. Other things can be birthed into life in a forced manner. And I'm not trying to say that they're exactly the same. Please understand me and hear my heart. But in the book, I tell the story of a young couple who was in a condo complex, and they learned that the landlord was raising their rent, and they didn't have enough to cover their current stuff, so raising the rent was a deal breaker. So they started looking for other options. They talked to a real estate agent. The real estate agent looked around, came back to them, and said, "Have you ever thought about buying a house?" And the young couple was like, "Wait a minute, we can't afford to rent a house. How are we going to buy a house?" And so the real estate agent brought them to a condominium complex. They didn't like the neighborhood, really. They didn't really like the condo itself. But the agent said, "You know, we can get you into this at a slightly lower price than what you were paying for your rent." And so this couple thought, that's the best option we have. It's the only thing we can do. We don't like the place. We don't really like the area, but it's our only choice. And so they went ahead and they bought the condo. Well, within a couple of weeks, they had found dime bags around the condo. Not great. Turned those over to the police. A little while later, the California summer sun began to heat things up, and they discovered that the air conditioner was too small to actually cool the condo. So they had the AC was running consistently. They had energy bills that were through the roof, and the condo was still 90 degrees. This wasn't good. In a moment that should have been a rejoicing, exciting time for them, they owned their first house together. There was nothing but heartache, and it was just struggle and frustration because nothing seemed to be going the way that it should. When it comes right down to it, it was something that was forced into their life by necessity, not something that they were open to out of love and excitement for seeing what could be born from their life. Some folks are closed up from conception. They don't want to be open, but yet they're frustrated that opportunities don't come their way. I want a family, but I'm not sure that I can be open to relationship. I want a business, but I'm not willing to share what I know and what I've learned and what I have with others. Fear limits us by causing us to be closed up with what we have. I think it'd be reasonable for Mary to have said no to Gabriel, to God. Well, you don't want to say no to God. Well, I agree you don't want to say no to God, but think about what Mary was doing. When she said, I'm willing to be intimately open to God to do what needs to be done for this child to be birthed for my life. Number one, she was saying, I'm agreeing to be the virgin that has a child. And who's ever heard of a virgin birth? I've had young ladies say, I'm pregnant, I don't know how. I can give you a clue. Can't give you specifics, but I can give you a clue. Because virgin births don't normally just occur. I know that sometimes in the life of Mary, she might have been saying, well, wait a minute, an angel appears to me and tells me this? Well, that's not normal. Show of hands, how many angels appeared to you to tell you when your kids were going to be born? I'm pretty sure, never mind, I won't say that. Now that I've said that, now you're going to conclude that I'm just thinking all kinds of things. No angels appeared to me about my sons. What if Mary thought, well, I could lose my fiance? Joseph, I want you to know that I'm going to be pregnant. It's God's child. No need to worry. How's that going to fly? What about Nazareth? Nazareth was known to be a very, very pious town. And what would a very religiously conservative Jewish community at that time do to somebody giving birth to a child out of wedlock? It had to do with stones being thrown. Nothing positive. I could understand why Mary would resist being unified with God, because being unified with God meant submitting to his plan and saying, I'm agreeing to a plan that I cannot understand and I cannot control. It was hers to accept or reject, but unity had to be present for conception to occur. So in your life, there are times when fear will make sense, when saying no will make sense to conception going on in your life. One time is when everything is new. When there's a new relationship, when there are new rules involved, whenever new things are coming into your life, it's easy to become fearful and say, well, I don't understand these things. I don't know how it's all going to turn out, so I'm going to say no to this. Another time is whenever things are not new, but they're old. Whenever old hurts get brought up again. Whenever old pains become present again. Whenever failures look you in the face again. Wait a minute. It's a destiny of ours to become a family. Well, I had a family and I was married, but that didn't work out really well. I've tried that twice and it didn't work for me. I can tell you that leaving Chicago, I felt like the world's greatest failure. Yes, there was a church there. Yes, there were about 40 people there. But we were going to Kona, or we were going to Hawaii to start another church. And I thought, why would God choose a failure having started a church here and failing at that? It was a failure in my mind because what I saw going in wasn't what I was looking at going out. And yeah, okay, there was nobody there when we arrived, and now there's 40 people there, but that was failing to me. And I said, why would God choose to use a failure to go do something they've already failed at once? And I was afraid. I'm so thankful that it didn't stop there, but I was afraid there. Maybe it's something new, maybe it's something old. How about when you're receiving negative voices in your life? When you're saying, hey, I'm going to cast this vision. I believe God's going to do this in my life. And the people around you are like, not you. Somebody else, yeah, I can get it. Not you. No, I know you. Know you really well. You can't do any of that. When those voices become loud and so fear begins to rise up in us. Mary was open and she was unified. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She handles this fear issue with one statement. She says, "I am the Lord's servant, let it happen as you have said." When she said, "Let it happen as you have said," she was saying, "I am open to the intimacy necessary for your words to come to pass in my life." When she said, "I am the Lord's servant," she was saying, "I am open to unifying with God in His plan for my life. I need openness and I need intimacy here." And when you've been hurt by life, you need to allow yourself time to heal. But don't get stuck in the healing. Allow God to bring wholeness to your life, but don't stay in the place of brokenness. Choose to allow God to heal your life so that you can move forward. Maybe you were married twice, and maybe it fell apart twice, but that does not mean that you being made whole by the power and presence of God in your life could not have a fantastic marriage. Just because you failed in business once does not mean that God birthing something out of you cannot make you an incredible business owner. You can write a book. You can launch a career. You can do whatever God is willing to conceive within your life, your womb. You can produce it from your life. Don't get stuck in the healing process. Thought number two. Improper motivations obstruct healthy conception. There are different reasons why people conceive. Sometimes people conceive because they're wanting love. We have a story in the Old Testament about Leah and Jacob, and Leah is not a loved wife. She became Jacob's wife through trickery. And Jacob was like, "Okay, well, I'll keep her because I'll stay married to her because she's my wife, but she's not the wife that I wanted or I love." And Leah is looking to be loved. And the Bible says that she has her first son, and his name is Reuben. She names him Reuben. And the name Reuben means see a son. And the Bible records her following up naming the child by saying, "Maybe my husband will see me now." And you watch the life of Leah. She has son after son after son. And the woman who, the wife that Jacob loves is Rachel. And Rachel is not having any children. She's barren at this time. And now Leah is having son after son after son. And she keeps naming them things that indicate that she's looking at them to fix the problem. She's wanting Jacob to love her. But she can't get Jacob to love her. Don't go through your life trying to get everyone else to love you, someone else to love you. Allow God to plant the seed within your womb that will allow your destiny to grow. Not because somebody else has picked it out. Not because your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your grandparents caused it to become. But allow God. Have the motivation that says, "God, whatever you want from my life, that's what I want to birth from my life." Some people do it for love. Some people do it because they're afraid. They're afraid of loss. Well, if I don't follow what my father says, he won't love me anymore. My mother says she won't love me anymore. So they birth something from their life that they never wanted to do in the first place. But they're afraid. Improper motivations. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, angels talking to Joseph, he says, "Don't worry about Mary. She's going to have a son and you're going to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." What's the motivation behind this? Jesus is going to save people from their sins. That's what's going on here. The motivation here. Another view of the motivation is given in Galatians 4:4. "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law." Why? Why? What was the motivation behind this? God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. The clear motivation of God here was to positively impact the future. And I just encourage you today, whatever your motivation may be, I pray that it's to positively impact the future. Because if it's all about me, then getting the right timing is very difficult. You notice that he said, "But when the right time came." God understood what time was right for this birth to occur. You can get the timing right if you have the right motivation. If the motivation's all about me, then I'm going to rush things. I'm going to push things because I want to see what I want to see from what I'm doing right now. I want the result as quickly as possible. But if I have the future in mind, if I'm benefiting the future, then I can relax and I can allow patience and reason and even the power and presence of God to work in my life in a way that it allows me to pursue the right thing at the right time. How can you be patient with that? Because I know that if I rush it right now, I'm going to mess up the future. And my goal isn't to start a business to become wealthy today. My goal is to start a business so that I can have a future that's worth living. That I can have, my kids can be safe and I can cover their lifestyle. I'm starting a business because I want something to outlast me and outlive me. I want to positively impact the future. So I'm not going to rush in a decision today. I'm going to be careful and strategic in my thinking. Because my choice, my motivation, isn't about me being happy and me getting what I want out of everything today, right now. Proper motivation. Thought number three is that you choose how you're identified. Mary will forever be known as the mother of Jesus. I don't know, maybe we'll get to heaven and she'll walk over to you and say, "Hi, I'm Mary, mother of Jesus." I don't know. Maybe you'll just know who she is. I don't know. But she will forever be known as Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I don't know what it's like to be Micah, the mother of Jesus, because that's not me. But I do know what it's like to be Micah, the pastor of McCord Road Christian Church. And it's interesting that I am known oftentimes by the things that I am being part of or the destiny that I'm living in more than I'm even known by my own name at times. And how this works out is that sometimes I'll call some of you and I'll say, "Hi, this is Micah Sutton calling for," and I'll call your name. And you will say things like, "Who?" Which makes me feel real good, by the way. Just want you to know. Micah Sutton. I'm Micah, not Michael. Micah Sutton. "Oh, I'm the pastor at McCord Road Christian Church." "Oh. I'm the husband of Christy Sutton." Gotcha. "I'm the father of Talon and Tyrion Sutton." "I know you." "I'm Micah Sutton." "Who?" Sometimes you're known by the things you birth, your destiny. You will be known by the destiny you birth. Think about if Mary had said, "No, you see, if I do that, if I say yes to this, then I don't know what would happen. I'm just afraid." Would she be known as Mary the Afraid? I'm going to choose what I'm identified by. If I say Apple right now, Apple Inc., most of you think automatically Steve Jobs. If I say Bill Gates, most of you automatically say, think Microsoft. One is identified by the other. They really can't be separated. And I don't care how long it is that between when Steve Jobs has gone on to his reward, we still think Steve Jobs with Apple. I don't know what you're going to be identified by. But would you rather be identified by the hurts and failures and frustrations of your life? Or would you rather be identified by your baby? I would rather be known as Micah, the pastor of McCord Road Christian Church. I would rather be known as the husband of Christy, who was also known as Micah periodically. I would rather be known as the father of Talon and Tyrion Sutton Because those are the things that I have connected with. Those are the destinies that I have conceived and developed within the world. I want to be known by my baby. Mary was known by her baby, and my question to you is, what are you going to be known by? What you birth from your life is going to be unique. It might be called the same thing. It might be called a business. It might be called a school. It might be called a curriculum. It might be called a book. It might be called an article. It might be called a career. And a thousand, a million of them are being started on a regular basis. And you might be starting something, birthing something that has the same name, but because it has your DNA and no one else is in it, it's going to be completely unique. I tell you what, right now, there are a bunch of kids represented by this group of people right now. And none of them are like Talon and Tyrion Sutton. Because Talon and Tyrion Sutton are a product of the DNA of Micah and Christy Sutton. And nothing else is like them. No, really. Nothing else is like them. What are you going to be identified by? In a moment, we're going to close and we're going to close in song. But we're going to stand and elders are going to come forward. And if you need prayer for anything, we're going to pray for you at the front. But I just want to encourage you. Decide today. Will you allow fear to keep you closed? Will you allow improper motivations to hinder conception in your life? Or will you say to God today, God, I don't understand how it's going to work. I don't understand even what you're going to do. But today I choose to be open and unified with you. My motivation today is to positively impact the future. So do in me what you need to do, allowing me to conceive the destiny you've designed for me so that it can be given life in this world. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for your people. Give us the courage, give us the wisdom, give us the openness to step into the destiny you've designed for us. In Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen. Why don't we stand together? If you need prayer, elders, come forward. If you need prayer, come forward. And let's pray for you today.